course, next week we'll spend the whole night on verse 12, because how can you not? The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. But tonight we talk about the rest that we have waiting for us. And the writer of Hebrews talks at length about this rest here in chapter 4, first 11 verses. So the Bible says, "Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place at the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, Today, after so long a time, as it is said, Today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." So a rest is the title of our message. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. Pray you'll use it in our lives this evening to grow us and teach us, Lord. May you be glorified in this time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So you can see the connection in this passage between faith and believing the gospel and the rest that awaits us in the future. He is going back and forth talking about us, talking about Israel, and how they missed out because of their unbelief. We saw that in chapter 3 when we talked about harden not your hearts, and how Israel hardened their hearts and they didn't trust God. It all comes down to faith. Did you notice there in verse 2? Unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. And then that heard it. It takes faith. For by grace he is saved through faith. When we place our faith in the Lord, when we believe, notice verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest. Faith, belief, they're the same thing. When we place our faith in Christ, we're believing on him for our eternal destiny. We're believing on him for our salvation, for being rescued from our sins in hell. And the Bible says, when we have believed, verse 3, we'll enter into rest. So the rest, of course, we understand that for us, he's talking about the future. He's talking about heaven, the city of God, and maybe even the kingdom, although I don't think so, because the kingdom looks like we'll be working a bit in the kingdom, because the Bible says we'll be ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ, so there's some work involved there. Reigning over unsaved humans. But we, as God's people, have a rest awaiting us. Now remember again, verse 6, it remaineth the same that they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. The key in the whole thing is about faith. Down in verse 11, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So how do we earn the rest? We can't. Just like we can't earn our salvation. When we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we're gifted eternal life. But we're also at the same time gifted an inheritance. And part of that inheritance is a time of rest. Now that inheritance is mentioned in 1 Peter, if you just want to go over a couple books. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 3 and 4, the Bible says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Look at verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved for you in heaven. So the Bible says we have inheritance awaiting us, and part of that inheritance is this rest that the writer of Hebrews is talking about. So go back to Hebrews 4, verse 9. He says, there remaineth therefore a rest to who? The people of God. So it all comes down to who has trusted Jesus Christ. They are the people of God, as we know. As many as received Him, Him gave you power to become the sons of God. We become the people of God when we are born again. And the Bible says there remaineth, so it means it's in the future, a rest for the people, or to the people of God. Now go to Revelation 14 and we'll see this mentioned. And of course, Revelation is talking about the future. Revelation 14, verse 13, the Bible says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. That they may rest from their labors. So what God is teaching us is that we as believers in Jesus Christ in the church age are not here to rest. We're here to work. The rest is in the future. Now we're talking in general long term. We're not talking about on a daily basis. We all have to have a night's sleep. We all have to take a rest now and then. That's not what it means. But we will rest, as we just read here in Revelation 14, from our labors, but not until then. Not until we leave this earth. While we're on this earth, we're told the opposite. And that is we're to work. We're told that over and over again in the Scriptures. Let's look at a couple of Scriptures together. Let's go to Ephesians 2. And I'm sure if I asked, most of you could quote verses 8 and 9 by heart. This is two of the most commonly memorized Scriptures. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But what about verse 10? For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. So yeah, we're saved by grace through faith so that we can work. That's what it says. We're saved by grace so that we can work. Whereas workmanship created unto good works. Let's look at another one. James chapter 1. Now, a lot of people know verse 22. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. In other words, supposed to do the word. But what does that mean? Down in verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the what? Work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. So a doer of the work. So what God is saying is, when we look into the Word of God, there in verse 25 of James 1, and we continue therein, if we're going to continue in the Word, it means we're going to work. That's what it says. He been not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. So in the church age, we're commanded to work. But we have a rest waiting for us. Praise God. Just isn't here yet. So back to our passage, Hebrews chapter 4. As we saw there, that it's all about faith. Those who will get the rest are those who have placed faith, those who have believed in Jesus Christ. And those who were not able to get the rest, he's talking about people who didn't believe. He says they didn't enter in because of their unbelief. Now believing and trusting and having faith in Jesus Christ are all the same thing. Ephesians chapter 1, let's look there quickly and we'll see this. Very important passage, Ephesians 1, 12 and 13, because it shows that trusting and believing are synonymous when it comes to salvation. You can just as much say, that person needs to believe on Christ, as you could say, that person needs to trust Christ. They're the same thing. And this passage tells us that, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. So there's that word trusted. In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So no, God is saying it's the same thing. that when we heard the word of God, we trusted in Christ. We believed on Christ. We had faith in Jesus Christ. And those who have had faith in Christ, those who have believed on Christ, those who have trusted Christ, as we read there in verse 9, there remaineth a rest to the people of God. So verse 10, he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. And of course, he then points back to how God made everything in 6 days and then rested on the seventh. But Jesus said the same thing. Go to John chapter 9. Jesus, when he was on the earth, he didn't come here to rest. He came here to work. And he says so. And we're to follow his example. Christ came to the earth to work. We're here to work. Notice John chapter 9, verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Then night cometh when no man can work. Now I believe Jesus here is primarily referring to the tribulation period, because that's the time of night, time of judgment here on earth for those 7 years, when it won't be as much working for the Lord as fleeing from the evil and hiding from the Antichrist and his minions so that you don't get your head cut off for not taking the mark of the beast. But what Christ is saying is, I'm here to work. That's what he says, right? I must work the works of him that sent me. And he wants us to follow in his example. Right before he went back to heaven, what did he say to the disciples? He didn't say rest. He said, go. I want you to work. All four Gospels, he said, I want you to go. I want you to go. I want you to go and tell others. I want you to work until I come back. And then back in our passage, verse 11, let us labor therefore. So here, instead of using the word work, he's using the word labor. Same thing. But we are here to be laborers for Jesus Christ. We are here to work for him. 1 Corinthians 15:58, wherefore my beloved letter may be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the... Anybody know the next word? Work of the Lord. That's us. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's what we're to be doing, working for Jesus Christ. Now, when it comes to salvation, it's totally different. Salvation is a gift. And this is where the Pharisees were confused, right? They thought that they could work for heaven. And that they had this long list of jots and tittles that they had added to the law. And they said, if we just keep all of those, we can earn our way to heaven. And of course, you can't earn your way to heaven, because working doesn't solve the sin problem. And so they came to Christ here in John 6, if you want to go back there. And they actually asked Jesus the question, how can we earn heaven, basically, was their question. Here in John chapter 6, and I want you to see Christ's answer. Verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. So there's that word labor again, verse 27, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? So they're not asking how can we serve God, they're asking how can we earn heaven? And look at Christ's answer. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. In other words, there is no work to earn heaven. You need to place your faith in Jesus Christ. And in verse 27, what's he saying? Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth an everlasting life. He's saying that once you have trusted Jesus Christ, then you can earn rewards in heaven. Now, God didn't have to do that, but he does. He will reward us, we learn. So it's two different things we're talking about. One is placing faith in Jesus Christ. That is a gift. But once we have salvation, now we work. Not to get heaven, but because we have heaven. So we're not working to earn heaven. We're working to please our Savior. Totally different motive. You know, when those Jehovah's Witnesses knock on your door, they're not doing that to serve the Lord. They're doing that to earn the kingdom. Totally different. Because they're taught totally works-based salvation, that it's all about earning it. And they have to go through this whole long list of things they have to do to maybe earn the kingdom. They don't find out until they die whether they earned it or not. But they have to knock on so many doors, and they have to do this, and they have to do that, and they have to tithe, and have this all long list of things to possibly earn the kingdom. And of course, they're not earning anything, are they? Because they haven't placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So they haven't received eternal life, which means it's all for naught. How sad. But we go out and serve the Lord and work for Him because we love Him, because He's already given us heaven. Knowing that one day, verse 9, there remaineth a rest to the people of God. How many times do we talk about that at funerals? Their labors are over. Amen. And one day, our rest will come. But it's not yet. God says, work. Say, oh, well, I'm sore and my body's worn out. I can't work anymore. Well, you can pray. And prayer is work. And you can find other ways to serve the Lord, but it's a consistent theme all through the New Testament. God's will for His children is that we work. One day, there will be a rest. Then that day is in the future. A rest for the people of God. Let's pray.